One of the biggest reasons that people don't say yes to other people is because they haven't developed any connection with people. And so the old days we talked about building rapport, real simple things like matching and mirroring and sitting like the other person sits and getting them to use their fork when we use our fork and vice versa, pacing and leading. And those are all useful tools. They're all really sort of antiquated and old. Nothing really new there. And it turns out, as useful as they can be, they're nothing in comparison to a lot of the more potent research that's coming out right now. And one of the broad categories of research that I've been really interested in is ways to create rapport that have nothing to do with mirroring, matching, and pacing, and leading, and synchronization, nothing like that. And the reason that I'm interested is because I don't want to just increase sales for you by 5%. I would like to see them increase by 50% or 75% or even double. And so I've clustered a bunch of these triggers under the category, under the label of what I call Kim Kardashian's connectors. And why Kim Kardashian? Well, if you think about Kim for just a second, she's at the time I'm recording this, she's 31 years old. Her family is one of the most successful television families in the United States of America. Each week when they have their show on, about 4 million people see their main show. They have a number of spin-offs over the years, which have done, some have done very well, some haven't done well at all. But everybody knows that name, Kim Kardashian. So why is that? And what is it that they do so right that nobody else does? Well, you know Kim. I mean, she's the girl who married the tall guy. That was Chris Humphries from Minnesota here. And then 2 months later, they went their separate ways, right? With the divorce proceedings lasting longer than the entire engagement. It may not even be over yet. I don't even know. But anyway, they were only really married for a couple of weeks. Now, her mother is one of those truly brilliant contemporary marketers. And Kim has learned very well from her mother. And some of what Kim does is not replicable. She's pretty good looking, has a body that doesn't stop, stuff like that. You and I probably don't have that. Some of what she does, though, is really replicable. She works really hard. You and I can do that. She tolerates public pressure in a way that makes politicians envious. That's hard to do. She gets marketing and, in particular, branding. She's 31 and she has 16 million Twitter followers. That places her 10th on the list of Twitter followers on the entire planet. How is it that a 31-year-old girl can have 16 million Twitter followers when she's not a musician, she's not a politician, she's not an actress? She's been in a couple of movies, but I mean, really, she's not an actress. She's a reality television star, but she is a brilliant brand marketer. And you want to know what she does that nobody else does that you can now do. So some of what the Kardashians do as a family is just, honest to goodness, nothing short of brilliant. You don't need to watch their show to learn this. So what are they doing that you are probably doing wrong? You're probably trying to use off-the-shelf solutions to begin with. Kevin, I have a question. I need to persuade buyers. Will it work if I say, or my company currently does X and Y and it's not working? I'm thinking of making a change, inducing reciprocity, training my sales staff on expectancy, using social proof as the file nail. Well, look, in direct marketing, you can attempt to influence with a script. That could be online or using long-form copy that's sent by mail. And in either of those scenarios, you can present optimal presentation material with specific factors of influence that will be persuasive about 1% of the time. Pretty cool, by the way. But that's not where we're at today. I'm talking about being persuasive and getting compliance most of the time. In every other scenario, every single presentation or communication you enter into must absolutely utilize different factors of influence, particularly the KK, Kim Kardashian, connectors. And they can be applied in every persuasive communication that you have with another person. Now, some will be completely new to you. Some of these things completely defy intuition. Some are just exactly like you thought they would be, had you thought of them? And there are many factors of influence that determine whether someone will say yes or no. The most excellent thing about the factors of influence is that there are many of them. But that means there's a lot to learn. And it means that as you learn each new factor, you become more influential, more persuasive. It's kind of like walking in your home, flip on one light switch at a time. Most people just flip on one or two switches and have just a little light. They have very little success at captivating, mastering connection, persuading one, or influencing thousands. Now, I want to talk to you about unique triggers that are specific to the individual that you are attempting to influence. In each case, the trigger, write this down, engenders identification. The specific triggers I'm introducing you to here are clustered under what I call the Kim Kardashian connectors. Write that down too, because I want you to be able to remember this, because you won't remember any of the scientific names. Okay? You keep it simple, you can remember Kim Kardashian, right? Just grab a photo offline, you'll remember. Triggers can include words and phrase, sentences, chapters, like primes, models, gestures, movement, color, drives, contexts, stimulus response buttons, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of different kind of triggers. A factor of influence that could enhance the result of an interaction to the tune of 1 to 10% can be dramatic. The scientist, the salesperson, or the marketer reads these numbers as statistically significant, or meaning substantially greater profits. Even just a 1 to 2% weight in your favor can tip the balance to a yes instead of a no, typically. Now, your average Joe wants one thing that will cause the girl to say yes, and that's why he's average. He obviously doesn't want to work too hard, okay? The girl doesn't like lazy. Prestige comes with status. Write this down. Status comes from mastery and recognition from others. You don't get those things by being lazy. Never be average. It's just that simple. The sharp individual wants to master as many factors as they can collect so that it is unlikely that they will hear no. The actions of persuasion rarely include a generic sentence one can parrot that is then useful to all people everywhere. A few notable exceptions might be things like, "Hey, you know, honey, I was wrong. Sweetheart, I'm super sorry. Baby, you're the best." There aren't a whole lot of others. If there were strings of sentences or scripts you could mouth that had worked in the past, you would eventually see them in all advertising and their effect would become diluted to the point that they no longer work. Imagine that every website online used a "Buy Now" button that looked the same as every other "Buy Now" button, that every single button was red, had a 16-point font on it. Well, you get the idea, right? What would happen? Well, would that cause everybody's sales to increase? Obviously not. You know, it's not possible. So everybody will continue to do those things, and you will start to do those things that work. So think about it. If every single human on Earth were selling apples, using sales letters about apples, because they had been proven the best, what would happen? Well, it would cause sales to evaporate. Everybody would go broke. The perfect proven combination now fails every single time. And this is why more people that use System Q or sales letter Y or Approach X, the more the system will fail. Fortunately, people are massively lazy. Fortunately, people won't do anything that they don't already know or think. Fortunately, they won't implement things that are unfamiliar because they're unfamiliar, and they'll stick with doing those things that they already know how to do. Once the girl, just ask a cute girl, once the girl has heard the exact same words from 10 consecutive guys, she realizes they all went to the same pickup meeting and that something is wrong. She's hanging around a bunch of average, and that's less than boring. Exact words will ultimately fail. If people don't consider something they identify with as unique and exclusive to some in-group, it's gonna fail. Write this down. People are identity-driven. People are identity-driven and stimulated or triggered by what resonates with them, with what says, "Hey, that's me." Now, back to Kim Kardashian. and her family brand and what influences her, her family, her friends. Chris Humphries, told you about him a second ago, basketball player, in one predictable way was a choice for Kim Kardashian to marry at a subconscious level. K, if you've ever seen the Kardashian logo for their brand of clothes or for anything that they do, K works in the Kardashian family. It is K. It is KK, right? It is Chloe with a K-H-L-O-E. It is, what are the other kids' names? Courtney, K-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y. I got to keep thinking here. And I think it's Kylie, K-Y-L-I-E. I know this way too well. And what's the other ones? Kylie? Yeah, it'll come to me later on. Anyway, you get the idea, right? It's K's, right? That's the first thing they did. It's a powerful name brand, okay? It's very easy to remember, well, at least most of the girls, all right? Kim's name, Kim Kardashian, is not only her personal identity, it's a brand name for products and businesses, okay? The logo of all things Kim Kardashian is the reverse K and then a forward K attached together in the middle. It's familiar and recognizable to almost all women under 35 years of age. If you ask a woman over 45 years of age, she won't know what the heck you're talking about. Now, let's look at influence triggers in perhaps the most important decision you'll ever make, which is naming your children. In the 1970s, Robert Kardashian, famed for being one of O.J. Simpson's trial attorneys, married an attractive girl named Chris with a K. No surprise there, Kardashian, Robert Kardashian K, marries a girl named K, Chris. This is pretty common. K's, Kardashian in this case, marry other K's like Chris with a greater frequency than they statistically would be expected to do. Okay? And by the way, Chris Humphries was the same name as her mom, Chris, right? Kim's finally moved on, trying to get through their divorce, as I understand it. Maybe it's already done. And now she's moved on and has just, I believe, they're getting ready to have a baby with Kanye. Okay? But I can't tell you if KW, Kanye West, will work out any better than KH, which would be Chris Humphries, not Kevin Hogan. J's, L's, and M's marry K's with greater frequency as well. That doesn't seem intuitive, but in real life, your locker in high school was next to other people with letters close to your letter, the first letter initial of your last name. So I ended up hanging out with Higginbotham, Hofteaser, Jacobson, Lindy, and Lundgren. Great deal, right? I mean, you did the same thing. I had Higginbotham, Hofteaser, Jacobson, Lindy, and Lundgren. Yeah, that's right. And when you, oh, and Kelnhofer. So when you register for classes at university, you went to the H to L line, right? Just like I did, if your last name starts with H to L, or whatever the first initial of your last name is. And we're divided by names and letters in more situations than you can instantly guess. Now, remember I said that Robert and Chris had three children, and they were all named with a K family identity, Kim, Courtney, Chloe, all starting with K. Robert and Chris had a son and named him Robert. People love to name their male child after themselves. I married a girl with the initials KK, oddly enough. It's Katie Koski. Her middle name, well, her middle name was the same as my mother's first name. Ironic on the way that life plays out, is it not? Pretty cool. So I remember that striking a chord when I learned that little piece of information. I remember I said, so what's your middle name? And she said, well, it's Caroline. And I said, oh, that's the same as my mom's name. And it was. And I'm like, that's really weird. Most attractive girl, and then some, right? So meanwhile, Robert Kardashian passes away after the OJ trial and all that, leaves his family in a most interesting and unusual way to Bruce Jenner, one of the greatest athletes in history. Jenner, J, right next to the K of the alphabet of car, of course. Chris and Bruce then go on to have Kendall. That was it, Kendall. Kendall and Kylie. And today, several television shows revolve around that daily happenings of that family, with the high-rated show Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I believe it's like 7 or 8, 9 seasons now. So letters become representations of ourselves, but more than that, oh, way more than that, letters change your personality. Did you know? Probably not, because I'm going to tell you now. This is brand new research, cutting edge. Did you know that people who have names that begin with letters at the end of the alphabet, like WXYZ, those kind of letters, TUVWXYZ, Those people, when given opportunities to buy something, move much quicker than those people who have letters, initials that start with A, B, C, D. Why is that? It's because people with letters at the end of the alphabet waited forever to get anything. They were always last in line. They were waiting for all the people, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way up through R, S, and then came all the people at the end, T, V, U, Y, X, W, J, X and Z. So those were the people who now move quickly when it comes to making decisions. Interesting? That could be a useful piece of information. So letters become representations of ourselves, more precisely of our selves, plural. That K is powerful in ways that you might have only imagined prior today. And then it goes further. The sound of K, or the visual K, is all it takes to trigger the feeling just like me. Now, before we go further, what I want you to do is I want you to write your initials down. We'll do this. First of all, write the initials for your first, middle, and last name on a piece of paper right now. You say, but what if I have a maiden name? Well, if you do, write that initial down too after your... So whatever you like, my name would be Kevin Lynn Hogan, so it's KLH. And then if you had a maiden name, it would go after that, whatever that would be. Maybe it's Bill. So you would Kevin Lynn Hogan Bill. Okay, so write that down. So those initials that start KLH are going to be pretty important to me. How important? Well, it turns out that when I'm shown letters in my name, and this is true for you as well, those initials are most important. You identify with products and services that have those initials in their name, and you identify stronger with products, services, and people that have those letters as the first name. So when you look around the people that you hang out with, they are going to be the people that have the same letter last name of your last name or first name that you do. It is a bizarre phenomenon. If your name begins with either the initial K or the sound K, something positive is going to happen when you hear that letter K or sound K. In fact, when I'm in a store and I hear a parent scolding, "Kevin, don't you do that. Stop it right now." I'm thinking, don't hurt that kid. He's a good kid. I know that. Why? Because my name is Kevin. I'm a good kid, right? So it's like, don't hurt that kid over there. Now, if it's William that mom's scolding, I couldn't give a rip, right? But if it's Kevin, I really care a lot. Those names are powerful representations of us. Those initials, powerful representations. People choose to marry other people with similar sounding first or last names if they aren't doing the letters, okay, like K. Okay, so Eric often marries somebody like Erica. Charles often marries somebody like Charlotte. Marriage. It's a decision and a choice you would think would be thoroughly considered. It's quite often the result of nothing more than an impulse trigger, which is what you're learning here, right? Most people attempt to build rapport in super simple terms. I've written extensively in other books on how important rapport is, but it's nothing compared to the identification and the absolute potent electric connection that you get with people when you use these identification connectors like this. People can easily synchronize body postures, body language, vocal qualities to generate that sort of like me feeling. But K is not sorta. K is me. Now, if your name is Kim or Kevin, but if it's not, something else is going to work for you. Okay? You respond favorably to most things that remind you of you. How so? Here's a couple examples of real power of unseen factors as to where people are going to choose to live. Louisiana has more than its statistical share of Louises than it should. Florence has more than its statistical share of Florences than it should. People choose to live on streets whose names match their own. Mr. Washington moves to Washington Street more often than he does to Jefferson Street. People often move to cities with numbers in the name that match their birth date numbers, like Two Harbors, Minnesota, Three Forks, Montana. People with the name Georgia do indeed move to Georgia more than they statistically should. But the influence of names and letters goes beyond just your name. I was looking at luxury homes all over the Midwest. One home was on a street named Coffee, and it didn't even dawn on me until I was going to place an offer on the house. I was down to four homes. One was on a street with the word that's the most associated word with Kevin Hogan. It's coffee, because I release on Monday morning every week, Coffee with Kevin Hogan. So ultimately, what did I do? Well, again, unaware until long after the fact, I bought a home in a location that began with one of the initials in my name. Coincidence? Perhaps. But about 10 years ago, I was looking for a home and found the right one. Then I didn't buy it. It was on McCool Avenue, and I'm not kidding you, it was the right home. But on McCool, like McDonald McCool, for some reason I started to find things wrong with the home after I found out it was on McCool Avenue. Now, have you ever bought something or ceased from buying something because of its name? Do you have an Apple iPhone or an iPad? Would you have bought it if it was called a radish iPhone or a celery iPad? I kind of doubt it. Imagine someone who buys a Maserati. Now, that's a cool car. What if it was named broccoli or asparagus? People, when asked to trust their feelings, preferred products whose first letters matched first letters of their names. For example, Almond Joy is statistically liked by Alan way more than it should be. Nutrageous, is statistically liked and in the house and cupboard of Nick way more than it should be. The question is, what's in your cupboard? Having various pet names for products or service could really pay off handsomely. Write that down. Write down the initials of your name. Print them. Do not write them in cursive. Now look around you. Where else do you see those initials? Like, what do you have in your house that has the same initials as your name? Most people never consciously consider this, so you can test this with any group of people that you come into contact with. Okay, I want you to begin developing that creative self within you so that you can think of dozens of applications for every factor of influence that I'm teaching you. The factors of influence accumulate and continue to be effective because almost no one uses them. As soon as everybody starts using them, they will become less effective. Almost no one is conscious of them, so now you can take advantage of them for the next few years until they hit mainstream. For example, if I still give out business cards, I would have 26 cards prepared for 26 letters. Obviously, that's not practical most of the time, but if I were in the business card given business, in other words, a business that requires me to do that, I sure would. Now, here is how I would utilize one of the Kim Kardashian connectors with something as simple as a business card. I would begin by having a short message on my card that utilizes initials to match your customers. I would have a URL and nothing else. Please note, I'm making these little messages up on the fly here, so you're going to take time and do this with a little more precision and flair. So your first business card, you would give to the individual with the first or last name that begins with an A. So, an amazing adventure awaits you, kevinhogan.com. A. That card would be given to Alan or Art and other people whose names begin with A. And if you don't have an A as an initial, you might think, well, that seems ridiculous. And you'd be required to reevaluate that opinion once you feel how strong the bond is between you and your initials. Card number two, that would be letter B. Brilliant experiences begin here, kevinhogan.com. That card would go to Bob, Barry, Bill, and other people whose names begin with the letter B. The letter D, delivering both daring and dignified designs, kevinhogan.com, and so on. In about an hour, you're going to go through the alphabet and come up with 26 cards. And what about those Q, X, Y, Z names? Probably a waste of time, right? Nope. The letter initial effect is way more profound with people who have less frequently observed letters in their name. So, what are other simple ways that you can take advantage of the letters, the initials, the Kim Kardashian connectors? Whether it's on invoices or envelopes or Christmas cards, artfully and elegantly placed letter personalization will be experienced as a trigger that strikes a very, very strong and positive chord in the other person's mind. The identity connection of initials, letters, and sounds is so powerful, It influences your future career and where you're going to live. I'm curious, when you look at it, do you find you or your spouse's initials on the street sign your residence is on? What about the city? What about the state? Have you ever considered how you want to protect the child who shares your name when the mother is yelling at that child in the store like I do? Frankly, it doesn't matter much to me when I'm out if the kid's name is Quincy, but as I mentioned, if she's yelling at Kevin, he's a good kid. Does it bug you just a bit when someone with your name commits a crime and the name appears in big letters in the newspaper? And while we're deliberating on initials and names, it should be obvious that what you name your child will influence their future in a dramatic fashion. To be blunt, the name you give your child will be a lifelong experience. You get one shot, so don't blow it. There are two ways this plays out. The first is the name itself. Now, here's how powerful identity can be. If you named your child Michael, you picked the single most popular name you could have chosen. Others would be like Aiden, David, things like that, Jacob. You can't go wrong there. Half as many people have the name David as Michael, but still a great choice. Okay, but what if you decided to be creative and give your kid a name like Kareem, Alec, Malcolm, Ernest? Not so good. In fact, you have a lot of making up to do because those names are the least popular names of all. Ah, but that's what makes him special, Kevin. I didn't want him to be like everyone else. And he won't be. He's much more likely to end up in prison. The research showing the connection between juvenile delinquency, criminal activity, and the popularity of name index developed by David Kalist and Daniel Lee at Shippenberg University is clear-cut. Clear-cut. This is cutting-edge, brand-new research. And do notice, by the way, that David and Daniel did the research. Certainly a coincidence. And you must be thinking, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Alec Guinness, Alec Baldwin, Ernest Hemingway, Malcolm X, some pretty good company. Yeah, but not in the 21st century, okay? It was pretty good company. Adolf worked well in most countries until about 1933, 1934, 35. Do you have friends and relatives you care about? Don't let them make this mistake. I've stuck my nose into people's business on this subject many times over the years. Even if they resent you, you probably saved their kid and a lot of phone calls to you for support 16 years later. Although the first initials, KH for me, Kevin Hogan, what are yours? Those are the most important. KLH is absolutely identifiable as me, right? If it's on the cover of a portfolio or a planner or a notebook, I know it's mine. Okay, and I, like you, have a preference for all the letters in all three of my names. That would be Kevin, Lynn, Hogan. You also have a preference for people who have those letters in their first and last names. You particularly notice less common letters like V and K when you unconsciously compare your name to other people's. Now, does this mean that your best friend won't have a name that's completely different than yours? Of course not. But it means that it's less likely that they will. Have you ever thought about she spells her name wrong, or that it's weak? Like you spell your name Catherine, and she spells it Catherine, okay? Or her name is Chloe with a C, and hers is Chloe with a K. Her name is Lori with an I. The other one over there is Laurie. Her name is Kayla with a K. Her name is Kayla with a C. Trust me, when it's your name, one of them is wrong, and it's the other person's. It's weak, it's wrong. That spelling of that name is everything. When you have the spelling one way and theirs is another, they are now inferior to you in this respect. You're Bob, he's Robert. That's pretentious. You're Phil, he's Philip. He's probably British. You're Alex, she's Alexandra. Get over yourself, girl. You're Catherine, she's Kathy. Girl has no class. Fleeting thoughts that you now recognize you've had hundreds of times in your life. The influence of names and letters go even further. People with the name Dennis are more likely to be dentists when compared to the rest of the population. Raymond is more likely to be a radiologist when compared to the rest of the population. And we know that people with the same last name as a profession or trade generally are more likely to do business in that trade than the general population as a whole. So a man with the last name Carpenter is more likely than you would statistically anticipate to be a carpenter. And you'd be reasonably right if you thought Mr. Mason was more likely to be in masonry. Hardware store owners, their names that start with H were 80% greater than those that start with R in the hardware business. What about roofers? Those with the names beginning with R were 70% more often found than those names beginning with H. The KK factors are those reliable triggers in influence. Triggers that relate to the identity of an individual are all but certain to have a positive influence on the different outcomes of an event or transaction. It might be the difference between yes and no, and of course it might not as well, but it will definitely be a significant factor. Now let me ask you a question. Do you like your names and initials? We're going to pick up right there on the next audio file.